The death and resurrection of Jesus defined and gave birth to Christianity. And we Christians have been celebrating the death and the resurrection for more than 2,000 years. For those of you here tonight, I doubt none of you ever see the resurrected Christ. How can I believe if I never see the resurrected Christ? Is it believable? And how about for us who have been celebrating it for over 2,000 years? Is it still relevant? Well, these are the two questions I'm trying to answer tonight. Is the resurrection believable? Is it still relevant? About a month ago, 2 months ago, when I'm on my way to work, I went on Canby Road, and all of a sudden they said, the road is closed. And I'm like, oh, I'm already late for work. I have to find another route to go back to the office. And when I arrived, I asked them, what happened? Well, I didn't see what happened, but they told me, oh, there's a trailer whose trailer is uplifted, and it crashed on the overpass. It's the cross-section, Knight Road and Canby, and so the road is closed. I didn't see it. I don't even think my colleague who told me they see the accident happen. They basically just go online and maybe they heard the news about this accident. They heard an eyewitness account of it. And then they also see the impact of that accident. The road is closed and we have to go the other way. So just an eyewitness account. You hear it and you see the impact of it. And you believe there's an accident at that particular junction. And so tonight, if I look at the resurrection of Jesus, I also want to hear from an eyewitness account and how his life is being impacted by that event. That's going to determine whether I will believe in it. And so who am I going to show you the eyewitness account? There's many of those, but tonight I pick Peter, the Apostle Peter. He would be able to tell us what he saw. And he would also be able to show us how this historical event of the resurrection of Jesus that took place 2,000 years ago still have relevance to us today. So let me first give you some background information about Peter. Peter is the first disciple that Jesus called. By the way, Jesus called 12, and Peter is the first one. And then Peter, if I try to describe him with a personality type, I would say he's an ESFP. Extrovert, sensing, feeling, perceiving. So how does this personality type usually behave? Well, they are spontaneous, outgoing. You call them entertainer. So that fits Peter's personality very well because he always leads. He's a natural leader. So when Jesus talked about every one of you, all my disciples, is going to fall away, Peter said, no, no, I will never. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you, Jesus. Even though they all fall away, I will not. So this is a typical ESFP. Peter really meant it when he said it. So if you want to know how Peter remembered the death and resurrection of Jesus, you also need to hear his account. Which one should we go to? That's four gospel. Which one is Peter's account? We believe is the gospel according to Mark. Mark is a very close colleague with Peter. Well, not even colleague. Peter called Mark, I treat him as my son. They worked very closely together in the first century to spread the message about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so when we look at the Gospel of Mark, we are pretty confident Mark gets the first-hand info from Peter. So he's recording the life of Jesus. When you look into the Gospel of Mark, there's 16 chapters. And it goes straight into the mission of Jesus. If I'm preaching for Christmas tonight, I don't go to Mark because I can find none of the nativity story there. I didn't see where Jesus was born, what happened when he's still a child. When I go into Mark, Jesus is an adult. He's ready to start his ministry. So that's where Peter starts. He just wants to tell you what Jesus did on earth. And so since this gospel is essentially Peter's account of what happened, I'm not surprised to find Peter on all the pages of Mark. I said there's 16 chapters of Mark. You know that Peter is present in all the chapters. Everyone, go read the entire gospel of Mark tonight and you can check me out. He's there in all chapters except one, chapter 15. Chapter 15 probably recorded the chapter that Peter most regretted in his life. This is the only chapter you cannot find the name of Peter, nor the presence of Peter. He's completely absent in chapter 15. Not only that, his departure right before chapter 15 is most disgraceful. At the end of chapter 14 of the Gospel of Mark, it recorded the time that Peter was in the courtyard of the high priest because Jesus was arrested and he's being tried in front of the high priest. And at that time, Peter was trying to follow close. He said that even though they all fall away, I will follow. So he tried to follow up close in the courtyard, witnessing the trial of Jesus. And then some servant girls noticed Peter and said, "Hey, you're one of them. You are his follower." And some other people also recognized Peter's face. "You are one of them." What did Peter do? He said, "No, no, I'm not." He called down curses and he swore, "I don't know the man." And when he denied Jesus for the third time, the rooster crowed. When the rooster crows, Peter remembered a few hours earlier, Jesus already predicted, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Peter remembered he had so much confidence in himself when he promised, "I will never deny you. I will follow you until death." Well, that rooster crow woke him up and he's devastated. He wept and he left the scene. He left chapter 14 as a broken man. Chapter 14 ends here, and then chapter 15 continues with thou Peter. And chapter 15 is the crucifixion. You know, the crucifixion and the resurrection took place within 3 days. Friday is the day that Jesus was crucified. And so if I try to make a movie based on chapter 15 of Mark, I would need a lot of actors. A lot of things are going on, and all these actors represent a rapid succession of events showing you the final time of Jesus. Let's take a look of who's there in chapter 15. If you've been in church for a long time, these names are very familiar. Just based on a name, you can already tell me what happened at the final hours of Jesus. Well, first of all, Jesus' chief priest, trial by the religious leader. Religious leader want him to die, but then they don't have the power to kill him. And so they brought Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate also find no evidence to execute him. And so Pilate said, let me take him to the crowd. Let the crowd decide for me. So he asked the crowd, "Do you want the king of the Jews, that is Jesus, to be released, or you want Barabbas to be released?" The crowd chose Barabbas. And then Pilate gave Jesus to the soldiers, flogged him, and crucified him. And so the soldiers did what they wanted to do. And then Jesus, with all the injuries, took on his own cross to Golgotha. And because he's so weak from all the flogging, the soldiers say, "Simon of Cyrene from North Africa, why don't you help him take the cross to the place to be crucified?" And that's what happened. That's how Jesus was crucified. When he died, a Roman centurion, so used to seeing people died on the cross, it's his job to kill people on the crucifix. And when he saw Jesus, he said, "Indeed, he's the Son of God." He saw something different that nobody in chapter 15 is able to see. A Roman centurion saw it. And then who are those three women? These three women follow Jesus since Galilee. They follow it up to the very last point. They saw Jesus die from a distance. And then Joseph of Arimathea, he's the one responsible to ask Pilate, "Can I take the body of Jesus and bury him?" So that's what happened in chapter 15. Well, take a close look. I said the Gospel of Mark is Peter's account, and he's not there at the most important time. Can you imagine you were not here last night in the Good Friday service? That's how it feels. Peter's not there on Good Friday. Chapter 15 ends with the burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea. And then when we picked up in chapter 16, it's already Sunday. There's no Saturday in between chapter 15 and 16. Saturday is missing in the Gospel of Mark. So did Peter. So on that Saturday night 2,000 years ago, where was Peter? What was he possibly thinking? What do you think? Peter and all the disciples went into hiding. What's going on? He's probably filled with regrets as he recalled what happened that Friday, the rapid succession of events, but he left his master abandoned. He was so scared and he hid himself. I can imagine that so much disappointment. He regretted. He's disappointed at himself. He thought he's able to stand to the very end. And he finally realized his fear of suffering is bigger than his determination to follow Christ. Not only that, he's very lost. What should I do next? I have gave up everything 3 years ago to follow Jesus. He gave up his fishing boats, his career, his financial security. He gave up everything to follow Jesus to the cross. So what is Peter supposed to do? He doesn't know. He doesn't know his direction. He lost his direction. He doubted, did I make the right choice 3 years ago? Not only did he doubt himself, he doubted the goodness of God. There was nothing more shameful than being crucified on a Roman cross. If Jesus is powerful, why don't he jump down from the cross? If God is good, why did he allow suffering? Why did God allow his son to suffer on the cross? If he is good and powerful, Jesus do not need to die. He did not need to suffer. So he has doubts about the goodness of God. Also, all his hopes were dashed. Do you know what is Peter's hope for the Messiah? The whole crucifixion and resurrection took place during a festival we call the Passover. Passover in the Jewish tradition has a very important symbolic meaning. It means freedom from slavery. The first Passover was celebrated when God brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. So every time they celebrate Passover, they remember God's deliverance. And so when they follow Jesus for three years, the expectation built up. Our deliverance, our freedom finally come. A long time ago is deliverance from Egypt. Today, I want deliverance from the Roman oppression. So to Jesus, to Peter, all Jesus' followers, they were expecting a Passover, a deliverance from the Roman oppression. Obviously, Peter did not understand Jesus' mission. Peter is looking for an immediate freedom. I want delivery right now. Delivery from a political oppression. But what he didn't get is that Jesus is promising to bring something even better. Peter is looking for temporal freedom. Temporary. Jesus is promising eternal freedom. I want you to be delivered from death. So when we trace what Jesus said about his death in the Gospel of Mark, we find that Jesus predicted his death 3 times. Not only his death. Every time when Jesus predicted his death, he predicted his resurrection 3 times. Let us trace where Jesus predicted it. In Mark 8:31, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man, referring to himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Mark 9:31, the Son of Man, referring to Jesus again, is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Mark 10:33-34. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. After 3 days, he will rise. Jesus predicted a death, and he predicted a resurrection in 3 days. And so, if I remember what Jesus said, I will count down. 1, 2, 3. Sunday morning, I'll go outside the tomb. countdown to his resurrection. That's what I'm supposed to do if I believe in the words of Jesus. But then all Peter and the disciples saw was Jesus was lifted on the cross, but they did not see God intended to lift Jesus up from death. If they remembered the words of Jesus, their Saturday will be transformed. But unfortunately, Peter and all the disciples, they did not get it. They were overwhelmed by the death of Jesus, and they completely forgot the promise that 3 days I will rise. I guess there's only one thing I can be sure that Saturday night, no one expected the resurrection of Jesus, because resurrection is not logical. Resurrection is not believable. So how did the Gospel of Mark records what happened on that Sunday morning? Let's take a look at Mark 16, 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Even these three women, they went to the tomb, not to count down to the resurrection. They expect to go find a dead body to anoint it. And then in the following verse 3-4, and then they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was a very large stone. And then they enter into the tomb. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. The young man said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. And then the young man told him, go, tell his disciple and tell Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. When Peter heard from the account of these women that Jesus' body was not in the tomb, he ran to check himself. When he went inside the tomb, he cannot find a dead body. Eventually, the resurrected Jesus met him, and Jesus dealt with Peter's guilt and reinstated Peter to shepherd his sheep. So pause here. What did we find from this eyewitness? He told us Jesus died, buried in a tomb, but then the tomb is empty. And he also personally saw the resurrected Jesus. But how can I believe in Peter? Well, just like that car accident, I didn't see it. I need to see the impact. The road is closed in that case. And in this case, I need to see Peter's life being changed after the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Peter at the end of chapter 14 of Mark's Gospel, a broken man, unable to do anything, crippled by fear. After the resurrection, Peter no longer is a fearful man. He became powerful and he started to go around witnessing for Christ. He's not in hiding. He preached the resurrection of Jesus, even there is persecution and suffering. And so finally, Peter actually died because of the gospel. He became a witness to the resurrection. And so the impact is, if there's no resurrection, what is Peter doing? Why would he use his whole life to go around and share this message about the resurrection of Christ, even at the cost of his own life? Why would Peter and all the disciples sacrifice for something that they know is a deception? And so, because of the impact that I see in Peter's life, I believe there is a resurrection. What did Peter say about the resurrection? He actually wrote a letter to the church and tell them what the resurrection did in his life. Let's go on to 1 Peter 1, 3-4. Peter said this, according to God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So what did the resurrection do for Peter? He said, I am born again. The resurrection, through the resurrection, I was born again. Born again meaning you have a new life. A new life that is completely different from the old. But in what ways is it different? Verse 5 to 6, Peter said, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter used to be in fear of suffering. What is he saying now? He saw the real nature of suffering. He said, you can persevere, you can endure it, you can embrace it, because it only lasts for a little while. Jesus died on Friday, and he resurrected on Sunday. If I would have known he would resurrect it, my Friday and Saturday would no longer be the same, because suffering is temporary. And not only that, he even see that the suffering is good for him. He see the purpose that comes out from suffering. He said that suffering tests the genuineness of your faith. This is his personal testimony. On Friday, he thought he has a lot of self-confidence. I will stand firm. That's Peter. But then when suffering comes, he said, I don't know the man. After he encountered the resurrected Christ, Peter is able to embrace suffering unto death. He said that, I embrace it even at the expense of my life. And I wanted to say, Jesus resurrected from death. For the first century Christians, if you want to save your life, you only need to say, I don't want to follow Jesus. Then you can walk free from prison. You don't need to suffer and die. You don't need to be crucified. But Peter embraced even the crucifixion and said, I choose to follow Christ until death, because the turning point is he encountered a resurrected Christ. That's the impact in Peter's life. So the final question I need to answer. So what? Why is this relevant to me? Well, I want to follow on what Peter told the believers at that time in 1 Peter 1:8-9. Peter said, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The resurrection is relevant to us today. As an eyewitness, Peter encountered the resurrected Christ, and he told us, even though you don't see it, hold on to it. You know, in a very similar way, we tonight is very much like Peter on that Saturday night 2,000 years ago. There's so much we don't understand about Christianity. Resurrection, rose from the dead, it sounds like a myth. I felt like if I tell a non-believer, I believe in a resurrected Messiah, they probably think I'm irrational. They probably felt like, you are too emotional, Cindy. Use your brain, think. Nobody rose from the dead. Death is supposed to be final and irreversible. We are very similar to Peter because we thought resurrection is illogical. It's unbelievable. But Jesus predicted it to Peter 3 times, and he predicted the death and resurrection. And things turn out exactly as Jesus had predicted. And Jesus also promised to us, all who believe in him will live. Even though they die, one day they will also rise from the dead like Jesus. You know, we are also very similar to Peter in other ways. We do not know what we are supposed to do with our life. Sometimes the fear of failure stops us from moving forward, from trying something new, or even agreeing to serve in a ministry that you never tried before. And sometimes we are crippled by our regrets and doubts. did I make the right decision a few years ago? And that crippled us to the point we are unable to move forward. But Jesus empowered Peter and gave him a life purpose. He called Peter to be a witness to his resurrection. And today Jesus is calling you to be his witness to his resurrection. When we say we are witness to his resurrection, what does it mean? It means that we believe that Jesus died for our sin and he rose from the dead. We believe that Jesus sent the Spirit to empower us to witness him in whatever capacity we are in. And we believe that even though we regret certain decisions we made a few years back, nothing is wasted in the hand of God. He can use even these stupid mistakes and wrong decisions we made for good if we trust him. We believe that one day Jesus will return and bring us home to live with him for all eternity. Will you believe? Are you willing to place your faith on Jesus who came for you, who died for you, and he also rose for you? He rose from the dead so that you can be forgiven and have eternal life. If you're willing, today your Easter has dawned. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, the resurrection of your Son has given us a new life and renewed hope. We ask for forgiveness because we many times walk through life without the joy that Jesus died to fill our hearts with. We ask for help. Help us to find you when our hearts are numb. And help us to remember the comfort and truth of your promises. Father, empower us to be the witness to Jesus' resurrection. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.